The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Bengals fans. I am Matt Minnick, and this is Coach Speak. We're going to get back into what Coach Speak is all about, where it really started at, and that is me as a coach by trade. Speaking the language and translating, as many try to do, what coaches mean when they say things. Because I think sometimes, like the media will go wild with comments that coaches made, and they'll be like, "Ah, well, he said this, he means this," and it's just like, "No, I said that before. That's not what he means." So let's get into that. And there's been a few things, like at the combine pressers. Like now, there've been more, more pressers going on. We've heard from head coaches, we've heard from coordinators, we've heard from draft prospects as well, GMs were, you know, director of player personnel, in the cases of the Bengals, well, singular, I don't know why I did that, but anyway, so there were three players and three kind of situations that came up in these things for the Bengals that I wanted to get into and get to the heart of, and the first one I want to talk about, like, we all know how important DJ Reader is to this defense. We all know what a big piece of the defense he was. Now, he was, honestly, I thought he was a little bit down this year, and then he ended up getting hurt. He is, on the precipice of 30, and I think, like me right away, like I thought that was potentially an extension that could happen before the season. Even though he's at that age, I thought maybe they'd give him a couple more years, try and lock him down because they know how hard it was to get him in there, what a difference, what an impact he made once he did. Also, the bit of uncertainty at the position because they still have yet to replace Larry Ogunjobi. You know, they've got B.J. Hill in there, but they haven't had that interior pass rush guy, that rotational piece. So, like, do you want to replace your whole D-line in 1 year? I mean, you know, again, Hill's still there, but it's kind of a lot. So, looking at that, I thought there might be an extension there. And he got hurt. He's hurt, and on top of the age, it's like, all right, well, this is probably over. Or at best, maybe he gets a one-year deal basically just to show he still has it, you know, like essentially a prove a deal because he wants to go out and get paid, but people don't want to pay him because of medical. But, you know, now, like, from hearing them talk, it sounds like there is interest in bringing him back. There is interest in an extension there. There is somebody that they'd want. So huge news there, you know, really big possibility. I think partially changed the way that you look at the draft. Obviously, you're still looking for that three-tech guy. You're still really thinking about the future of that position. You don't want to rely on needing him. So I think you still, if you can get a guy, you still want a guy. But interesting and definitely a development as far as that is concerned with DJ Reader. We'll get to offense in a second, but I want to talk about special teams and hearing Darren Simmons talk about the situation at punter. I thought it was interesting that he pointed out that he's like, well, you know, I think statistically Robbins was actually a little bit better when Huber was in his first year. So, hey, let's not give up on him, but, you know, like, we gotta, you know, make sure we get our bases covered here. Essentially, he was saying, hey, we're going to bring in competition. It's not his job, but it's also not his job. You know, it's not like, oh, well, screw that guy. So interesting there. You know, I think we all knew like they wouldn't likely going to give up on Robbins. He alluded to, you know, when they ask about like a veteran or a draft pick, right? They're probably not going to draft another one, especially with the picks they have this year. But he kind of, you know, he came out and said, well, you know, there's some guys out there that we'd be interested in. There are some interesting guys out there. But, you know, it's money and how we're going to spend it. So it kind of sounds like he would like to bring in a veteran. And he just doesn't know if they're going to do it for him or not. And, you know, he's covering his base a little bit there. So, you know, maybe like, I think Tommy Townsend's a guy that, you know, I think we all know there would be some interest in. I think a lot of teams would have some interest in. You know, so maybe he's looking at a guy like that and he's saying, man, that, you know, that could be the guy. We could be covered. We could be in a good situation. But, you know, you just don't know if you're gonna get him. And, you know, you look at throughout his career, like, they've gone different directions with this stuff. It hasn't all been rookies. They brought in veterans. They've, you know, they brought in Zoltan Mesko to punt for a while. You know, they had Nugent as the kicker. Like, they brought in some veteran guys who've been around a little bit. And have had some success in some of the situations. You know, there are some, what's the word I'm looking for? Not enigma. Pariah, I think that's it. Pariahs in that group, some people that we don't like to talk about as well. But, you know, you can see them going either direction with that. But, yeah, you know, don't give up on the guy. Like, we all love this guy and his mustache coming out a year ago. Like, he's still that same flipping guy. Like, we know we can – it's not like it's a guy from – you know, it's not like a guy from Florida, right? Like McPherson, like, we know that he can kick in the weather, punt in the weather in a situation. Like, so, yeah, you know, it might just be about getting used to things, getting things – figuring out a little bit more for himself. So let's all just chill on that a little bit too. Anyway, I spent way too much time on punter. Let's now talk about the offense. And Dan Pitcher in interviews talking a little bit about the position, you know, and they really talked about the value and having the best guys in the field. And that's something that we have talked about before. When you talk about bringing different guys in different packages, it's like, well, who are you going to take off the field? Do you want that guy on the bench? Do you want that guy on the sidelines? And I think it really speaks to they have a lot of value for Tyler Boyd. And they think Tyler Boyd does a lot for them in particular. And they haven't been great at tight end, but I think they're open to being a different kind of team, particularly in a post-Tyler Boyd world. Or in a world where they have a little bit more going for them at the tight end position, you know, I think they are open to those sort of things. So it could be, you know, it's a situation where they're playing a lot of 11 personnel because they have three really good receivers. So they weren't gonna take one off the field. But now, let's say I don't want to say they're drafting Bowers because I think that still seems like a bit of a pipe dream. But, you know, let's say you go out and you get a Noah Fant. Noah Fant's playing really well for you. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you keep around Hudson as well, right? So, you know, now you've got a couple guys in there. You know, you got Noah Fant, a little bit higher level guy, and you got Hudson who you kind of like. And then let's say we got no real changes at receiver, right? So now you've got Charlie Jones, who you'd like to work in a little bit at slot. You got Andre Yoshivas, who you'd like to work a little bit on the outside. So you can do some things with that where you can be in 11 personnel, all right, and you don't have the Tyler Boyd that you feel you need to have on the field all the time. So maybe sometimes it's Yoshi, and you're working Chase in the middle. And maybe sometimes it's Charlie Jones. And really, he has some inside-outside versatility, but, you know, maybe in that situation, you're keeping Chase on the outside a little bit more. And then it could be a situation that then where, okay, Yoshi and Jones, like, those are guys we like, but those aren't guys that you feel like you have to have, you know, holy crap. have to have this guy in the field as much. So maybe it's a situation where now you're getting into more different personnel groups. You know, you feel okay about taking one of those guys out the field, even if it's a Tanner Hudson. You know, and now Tanner's the guy, and it's Tanner, and it's Fant, and it's Higgins, and it's Chase, and you're out there in 12 personnel. So I think that that gives you some different possibilities there, and some flexibility there that you know, when you look at all those guys, you look at Tanner Hudson, and I mean, even just throwing it in there, like Tanner Hudson, Charlie Jones, Andre Yoshivas, none of those guys are like, holy crap, we have to have this guy in the field, you know, where I think even though he wasn't super productive recently, like maybe they looked at Tyler Boyd like that for the things that he could do. But now if you have a collection of guys, maybe that's something that you look at a little bit differently. And then you're not relying as much on, you know, your day three pick at receiver being a superstar all of a sudden. You know, you're hoping that two day three receivers can be pretty good for you, right? And you're hoping that, you know, a tight end, or, you know, maybe I just use Hudson, but a Hudson or a free agent tight end, or maybe a rookie tight end can be pretty good for you, right? But you just need, you need that tight, the other tight end, I think, to be like the third guy that can really be counted on, that can be like leaned on a little bit more in that situation. And they don't have that guy right now, right? Like, that's the guy that we've been wanting them to get. You know, they don't have that guy as much. So, just a thought, based on some of the things we're hearing from the combine. I don't know what the combine is. I do need a, no, I need a nap though. Anyway, we'll keep these coming at you. I'm, you know, trying to keep up. I got a job too, man. Like, I got stuff I gotta do. But I'll get caught up on the combine and everything. I'm reading everything that's going on. I'm watching everything that's going on. Really, to me, it's the on-the-field drills that I love. You know, the measurements and the testing, that's kind of cool. But I like seeing the moves. I like seeing the football movements. Honestly, that's where a guy like Christian Gonzalez last year, that's where, to me, the corner class really changed for me. Was I was like, oh, he's the dude. Obviously, Witherspoon's really good too, but I just watching him move and his smoothness, like sometimes it's like it's a little bit different, you know, when you get to see him a little bit more in that context and you can really focus on that, as opposed to the game film. So I like seeing those movement skills in that situation. So that's fun for me. I have a lot of great stuff coming up. Currently. I've got Who to Watch at the Combine articles for every single position except quarterbacks on Cincy Jungle. So check those out if you're out there and you're watching the NFL Combine and you're like, hey, who are these guys? Who should I be paying attention to? Check that out, all right, for some names to maybe perk up when those guys step up into a drill. Some guys that have already stuck out to me on film. But after this, you know, as we start to get a little bit more data on that stuff, I'm going to put together some lists, some of my top lists, and I'll be coming at you with some of that stuff over the next few weeks as well. I am going to specifically look at, like, slot corners, slot receivers, because I think those are some positions where, you know, where the Bengals definitely have a need. So keep an eye out for that stuff. I am Matt Minnick. This is Coach Speak.